together tonight, please, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. I invite you to open your Bible in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and we're going to break in at the verse 31. Matthew, chapter 25, and the verse 31. And the Lord Jesus is speaking, and the Savior said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts this evening. Now, tonight I want to say again, glad we are to be here, and to extend also a word of welcome to everyone who has turned out. And it's good to see so many out on a Monday night, and we assure of a warm welcome, even though it's raining cats and dogs outside. Also want to say it's a real joy to be back with the Reverend Lamont, and it's always good to renew fellowship with him. You know, our brother's quite a character and a joker when you get to know him. And I heard about him when he came to Coleraine. And, you know, he went into an old people's home, and he was very zealous, and he wanted to get round all the old people. And he went in to see an old lady that he had heard about, he had never met, but he was very anxious to meet her. And so he went in, and he found where she was sitting, and he went over to the chair. And he said, Hello, dear, do you know who I am? And she looked at him and she said, Son, I don't have a clue who you are. But if you go over there, one of the nurses will soon be able to tell you who you are. And, you know, it's been a joy being with him night after night, just finding out more about him, getting to know him in the Lord. And we do thank God for him and the work that he is doing here in the Lord's name. Now, in the final most truth tonight, I want to underline a verse that you will find in our scripture reading in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. And you will find it in verse 41. And it says these solemn words, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, as you read through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, right through the 66 books of the Bible, you will discover again and again that the Bible is a wonderful book of comfort. Paul talks about the comfort of the Scriptures. And you will find again and again in different portions of the Word of God that the Bible has a word of comfort for people in every situation in life. Very often in the work of the ministry, you've got to go into homes where there is tragedy and death comes. Maybe there's been an accident on the farm, a child has been killed, or some other tragedy. And you wonder, what on earth am I going to say, even in such an occasion as this? But then when words fail, it's good to have the Word of God, that living Word of God, which is a rod and a staff to comfort us in every valley experience of life. But let me make it absolutely clear tonight that if you think that the Bible is only a book of comfort, to comfort people and men and women in their hour of trouble or testing or trial that they're going through in the valley experiences of life, you would be making a very grievous mistake. Because as you read through this Bible, you'll find that alongside the words of comfort and cheer and encouragement for broken hearts, that God gives to us some very solemn warnings in His Word. You'll remember how that Noah, a preacher of righteousness, was sent to preach the Word of God. And the warning was given that my spirit shall not always strive with man. Again, we think of prophets of old and how that through the lips of the prophets, the Lord said, turn ye, why will ye die? As saith the Lord. And again, God said in His Word that the soul that sinneth it shall die. And even when you come to the one who was God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, no one ever spoke words of comfort like the Master. And yet we find that even from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there went out the sharp, two-edged sword. And the Lord Jesus Christ warned men and women to flee from the wrath to come when He said, O generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? And so it's very important to realize that the Bible is not only a book of comfort for men and women experiencing the storms and the battles of life, but along the highway of life, on the broad road, God gives to us His Word, and God gives to us a warning to men and women to turn away from their sin, lest they would perish in the way and be lost for all eternity. Now, in the words that I want to leave with you tonight, I believe that we have here the saddest words that the Lord Jesus Christ will ever say to a sinner. When on that day of judgment, the Lord of glory and grace shall look into the faces of men and women, and it says, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And as I've read this book from cover to cover and many times, I believe I'm right in saying tonight that these are the saddest, most solemn words that will ever fall upon the ears of a sinner when he's condemned to a lost eternity. And the Lord Jesus says, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now you'll remember that this chapter deals with prophecy by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of that great event that is yet to come in the history of the world, His second coming. And we find here that the Lord gives this parable of the sheep and the goats to describe the awful judgment that awaits men and women in a day to come. Because the Bible declares that God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world by that man, Jesus Christ, whom He has raised from the dead. And what Paul is saying is this, that just as God raised His Son from the dead, then one day in the calendar of God, in a day yet to come, God will raise sinners even from the dead, and every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. But as you look at these words that are being spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ concerning this great throne of judgment, I want you to consider three solemn truths with me. And I want you to see, first of all, the sovereign upon the throne. Who is it that is going to speak and utter such words? Look at verse 40. And it says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them." Look at verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand." And as you look into God's word here, you'll find that these are the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in verse 31, we're told, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." And my, can you grasp something of the greatness of this moment when heaven is going to be left without angels, and all the angels are going to come with Christ in His glory and be with them when the Lord shall sit upon the throne of His glory. And we need to understand that the sovereign upon the throne is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's no longer the stranger of Galilee. You see, when the Lord Jesus came into this world, in the words of that old hymn, He failed His glory. His glory in a great measure was hid from the world. And the world had to cry out, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews?" And He came not to a throne, but rather He came to a manger in the stable in Bethlehem. And as far as the world was concerned, His glory was hid and it was veiled from their eyes. Again, you'll remember during the course of His life and how His glory was hid to a great measure. And even when it came to the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, He stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate said to Him, "Art thou King of the Jews?" As he looked upon this man from Galilee who was despised and hated by the rulers and the chief priests, the political leaders of this day, he says, "Art thou the King of the Jews? Are you really this King, the long-awaited Messiah yet to come?" And as far as the world was concerned, even in the presence of Pontius Pilate, the glory of the Lord was concealed. But now we find there's a reversal in the whole situation. The Lord is no longer despised and rejected of men. He's no longer in a state of humiliation, but He's in a state of exaltation. And beloved, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the Savior is no longer going to be a Savior on that occasion, but rather He's going to be a judge. You know, I remember reading the true story of a young man who had been out and was in a little boat and he was enjoying himself. And he stood up and he lost his balance and he fell over the side and he couldn't swim. And he called out for help. He realized he would go down to a watery grave if someone didn't swiftly come to his aid. And in the mercy of God and in God's providence, there was a gentleman walking along the side of the seashore, and he heard the cry of the young man in distress. And he realized immediately what was happening, that the young man was drowning and in danger of losing his life. And without hesitation, the man ran, threw himself into the water. He was a strong swimmer, got to the place where the young man was, and pulled him out to safety and onto the shore. And afterwards, the young man thanked him, and the man just went on and returned to his home. But you know, that young man, instead of being thankful for the mercies of God that preserved his life, he went into a life of sin and waywardness and rebellion. And eventually he was arrested and brought into court for serious crime. And as he was sitting in the crime, as he was sitting in the court and the evidence was being given and being weighed, and eventually the verdict had to be given by the judge, the judge looked at him and he said, "Young man, stand to your feet." And the judge began to read out the sentence and pronounce the judgment. And he said to the young man, "Have you anything to say for yourself, young man?" And the young man looked and he studied the face of the judge. He turned over the pages of memory. And he thought, the man that is sitting on that bench is the man that rescued me, was the man that saved my life. And he cried out to the judge, "Sir, do you not recognize who I am?" And the judge was taken back and he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Some years ago, sir, you rescued me, you saved my life." He thought this would get him mercy with the judge. And the judge looked at him and he stared hard and he said, "Yes." He says, "Now I remember." He said, "I remember it well, that occasion when I rescued you, when I plunged into the waters and I sought to save you." Then he looked at the young man and he said, "Son, on that occasion I was your Savior, but that day is now past and far gone. I am now your judge, and I now must pronounce the sentence upon you." No, beloved, does that not faintly describe what's going to happen in that great day of judgment? "Then shall the king say." He's no longer going to be the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He's no longer going to wear a crown of thorns, but it's a crown of glory. And he's going to be your judge. He's going to pronounce judgment upon your soul. I believe that'll make hell even 10 times worse for the sinner to realize that the Lord who sent me to this awful place was the Lamb who died to save me upon the cross. But I neglected God's so great salvation. Can you see the judge or the sovereign upon the throne? "Then shall the king say unto them." Then I want you to see not only the sovereign upon the throne, but see the sinners before the throne. Because look again there at verse 41, and it says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed." Now, if you look there in verse 32, you'll find that at this last judgment, humanity is divided up only into two groups as far as this day is concerned. And it says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." And oh, that you would understand it tonight, that as you look at the sinners before the throne, that there's only two classes two groups, there's only two categories. And you're either numbered among the sheep on the one hand, or among the goats on the other hand. Now there's no difficulty in discerning from the Word of God who the sheep are. The sheep are those who recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep. The sheep are those who can say, but the psalmist David, the Lord is my shepherd, and have a personal faith and trust and hope of salvation in Christ and in Christ alone. I wonder tonight, are you numbered among the sheeps? Is there a time in your life when you can look back and you were gathered into the flock and into the family of God, and you received Christ as your Savior, and from that moment on you could say, the Lord is my shepherd, and you became one of the Lord's sheep, and you've been following the Good Shepherd from that moment on. No difficulty recognizing the sheep. The sheep are those who are trusting in the atoning work of Christ upon the cross as their only hope of salvation. But then if we know who the sheep are, then we've got to ascertain who are the goats. You see, it says here, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And could I suggest two things to help identify the goats, who the goats are? And the first one is this, that the goats are those who are like Nicodemus, whom we read about in John chapter 3. And you remember he was a ruler of the Pharisees, and that he came to see Jesus by night. And you remember how that he came to the Savior, and he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And Nicodemus was talking nonsense. You see, dear friend, Jesus Christ was not a teacher come from God. He was God come to teach. He was not like one of the great Old Testament prophets. He was God manifest in the flesh. And as the Lord Jesus looked into the heart of Nicodemus, He knew that Nicodemus, with all his religion, was numbered among the goats, and that he had never been truly born again. And the Lord Jesus looked into his heart, and He said, Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And you recall how the Savior said that except a man or woman or a boy or girl be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And oh, that you would recognize this. Doesn't matter what the preacher says. And I've known preachers by the dozen, and ministers, and are the biggest liars that ever walked in 2 feet. And to have the drunkard in the front seat of heaven. Think of one of them. And he said, I can just see Tommy Nye in heaven, and he's enjoying his first pint. What utter blasphemy. What utter blasphemy. And it doesn't matter who you are, rich or poor, queen or beggar in the street. You'll never get through heaven's gates except you've been born again of God the Holy Ghost, been made a partaker of the divine nature, and been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you can testify to the fact that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become you. Nicodemus, oh, you have religion to the backbone, but you've never been born again. Is that you tonight? You've got religion, you've got your church, and you've got your wee system of good works. Remember going into the hospital recently to see a man. He's had 3 heart attacks. He's not saved. Brother was used in the foundation of our church in Hillsborough. And I went in to see this man, and I spoke to him about getting saved. And he said to me, "Well, you know, Mr. Barnes, I seek to live a good life, but I suppose that falls short." And I says, "It does. And I tell you why, if you can get to heaven by your good life and by your religious works and all the rest of it, tell me, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Salvation by works makes a mockery out of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ." And oh, the tragedy is that there's so many and they're depending upon religion and not the experience of the new birth to get them into heaven. Tell me, is that you tonight? Got your religion, but you're just like Nicodemus. God knows your heart. You've never truly been born again. You're one of the goats. But then again, look into God's Word with me in Matthew chapter 7. And you will find that the Lord Jesus tells us again who the goats are. And He tells us in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And here's the goats again. And the goats are those who are depending upon charismatic experiences, but have never entered into the greatest experience of all. And that's coming to Jesus and having their sins washed away in the precious blood of Christ. Listen, friend, you can cast out devils. You can work miracles. You can prophesy in the name of Jesus and go to hell at the end of it all. You can be numbered among the goats. I remember witnessing one day to a big police inspector who was a lovely gentleman, very nice person. As I began to talk to him about being a Christian, he said, "Oh," he says, "I'm a Christian." And I said to him, "Well, that's very interesting. Now, tell me about it." "Well," he said, "you know," he says, "I'm a charismatic Roman Catholic Christian." I said, "Could you really tell me what that's about?" And he said to me, "Well, you know, we have wonderful experiences in the meetings that we go to. The Holy Ghost descends and we speak in tongues and our bodies shake from head to foot. We have great experiences in the Holy Ghost." I said, "That's very interesting." I said, "Tell me, sir, do you still pray to the Virgin Mary?" "Oh, we do." "Tell me, sir, are you still going to the Mass?" "Oh, indeed we do." And I discovered that he had all these experiences that he talked about and claimed about, but he was in the darkness of Romanism, and he knew nothing of the new birth and of knowing Jesus Christ as a Savior. Oh, the tragedy of it all. You can have all these experiences and not have the most essential experience of all, and that's being born again from above. Remember going into the hospital and to see an old man. He was over 80 years of age. He was anxious about his soul. And I went into the hospital and I got there, and at the side of the locker there was a beautiful basket of fruit, and I started the conversation and I said to him, "Bobby, that's a beautiful basket of fruit you have." Oh, and his chest went out and his eyes lit up. "Oh," he says, "yes," he says, the Lord sent me that." I said, "That was very nice of the Lord." "Oh, yes," he says, "a minute all." He says, "You know, I'm in the Prentice Boys, and I'm in the Orange, and I'm in the Black, I'm in them all." I said to him, "That's good, Bobby. But tell me, in Christ, do you know the Lord as your Savior?" And the head went down. And oh, the tragedy is this. You can be in all the organizations, and I'm not condemning them. But my dear friend, it's not the lodge, it's the Lord that takes you to heaven. It's not the sash, it's the Savior. It's the Savior. And there'll be as many Protestants in hell, if not more, than blinded Roman Catholics. And their judgment will be worse. Because many a Catholic never had the opportunity that a Protestant has to hear the gospel. Oh, you can be loyalist to the backbone. You can be charismatic to the backbone and still be numbered among the goats. Only one way to heaven, and that's by the way of the cross. But then I want you to see not only the sovereign upon the throne and the sinners before the throne, the sheep and the goats. But my dear friend, here's words that even strike godly fear into my heart tonight. When the Lord Jesus, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And here's the sentence from the throne. Here's Christ's final words to the sinner. These are the last words that you'll ever hear Christ speak to your soul. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, we live in a day when people no longer believe the Bible and they talk about science, so-called. And they say to me, Mr. Barnes, how can you in this day believe in everlasting punishment? How can you believe in everlasting fire? Surely the laws of science today tell us that everything burns itself out, that matter eventually must burn itself out and come to an end. But you know, dear friend, as you come to God's precious Word, you'll find the answer. And you remember in the Old Testament, there was three young men in the days of Daniel, and they were cast into the fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter than before. And these three young men were cast into the fiery furnace. And the next morning when the king looked in to the fiery furnace, he saw four, one likened unto the Son of God, and the three young men walking in the fire with the Son of God. Now, what's happened? I'll tell you. You see, this book says that heaven and earth will pass away. The laws of science one day will come to an end. And just as God's almighty power upheld and sustained the three young Hebrew men in the fire, enabling them to endure the fire bodily, so likewise one day you will have a body, a glorified body, a resurrected body. But this book calls a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction, a body specially prepared that you might endure the wrath of the Lamb upon the throne for the countless ages of eternity. Oh, my dear friend, don't you be deluded by the devil. God's word will come to pass. God's already demonstrated how it can happen. And God's power will either sustain you in the heaven with the songs of the redeemed, or it will sustain you in hell, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for the countless ages of eternity. Some years ago, when I was a student in the WAC Missionary Training College, we were sent to a little place called Kilwinning for a gospel mission. There was a mission hall there. It was a kind of open brethren place. Lovely Christian people. A team of WAC students was sent there. I was included among them. There was a lovely brother there, and he worked in the big steelworks that used to be so preeminent there. And he said to his lads, would you like to come with me over to the factory someday and see the steelworks and your afternoon off? And so we made the arrangements, and we went with him. And I'll never forget going into the factory, and there was these great furnaces. They took us up a platform, and then they handed us this shield to protect, face shields. You held it in your hand. There was colored glass. And they opened up the furnace and we were able to look in. And I saw steel. And it was just bubbling like water. Melted steel, intense heat. And it was bubbling like water. He said to me, you know, he said one day there was an awful tragedy here. We don't exactly know what happened. But he said one of my colleagues, he said he leaned over. And whether he took a heart attack, we don't know, but he lost his balance and he fell right in. And he said the only thing they could do was take that big furnace of steel and he said they emptied it out over there, pointing over to a particular place. But he said, you know, it was all over in a split sack and he never knew what hit him when he went into that awful furnace. And you know, as I looked at that and as I thought of that, pictured to me what's going to happen to men and women who die in their sin without the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tragedy is this, it'll not be all over in a sack and it'll last as long as God will live upon His throne for all eternity. Old John Wesley said, if you want to know what hell's like, just light a candle and hold your finger over it, over its flame, and you'll get a foretaste of hell. So you will. But you know, the good news of the gospel is this, that the Son of God loved you and gave Himself for you. And on the middle cross of Calvary, He drank the wrath of Almighty God dry on behalf of every sinner that believes in Him. You see, in the Old Testament, every lamb that was sacrificed was consumed in the fire. But in the great covenant and scheme of redemption, God's lamb consumed the fire. And thank God there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, the sentence from the throne, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire. Listen, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was never prepared for sinners. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And then when sinful man rebelled, then man was also cast into hell. It's not God's will that any should perish tonight, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the Bible says, turn ye, why will you die? God says, I take no pleasure. As God looks the awful fate of the ungodly when they hear these words, the Lord says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord would rather deliver you than damn you. The Lord would rather save you than smite you. The Lord would rather bless you tonight than banish you tonight. And thank God, He says, whosoever will may come. I wonder, will you come tonight? Say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to ever hear those words. I don't want ever to be lost. Lord Jesus, tonight, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, I come to Thee. The saddest words that a sinner will ever hear. I earnestly pray, and I was praying this at 5 o'clock this morning. I was praying for you, friend, in this meeting, that God will bring you to Christ and that the Lord will save you from the wrath to come. Come and come tonight to Christ. We're going to sing together a closing hymn.